Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the 12th episode, I believe, of this podcast where we talk about stuff and junk. And I'm Parker.
I'm Jason.
And this week we are joined by Kevin Merriman, who is a blogger. He does the blog Cultural Atrocities, which you can find at culturalatrocities@blogspot.com. And it's also linked to on our website. But how you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I actually just bought the domain name, so now I'm just culturalatrocities.com. It's a beautiful day for bloggers everywhere.
Excellent. Yeah, that's. I was very happy the day that we bought poolpartyradio.com. It was like giving birth to a baby, a legitimate baby.
It's such a special moment, you know?
A legally binding child. That's what it is.
Yeah, you pay for every year, so I mean, it's kind of the same thing.
Indeed it is. But yeah, what kind of stuff can folks find on your blog?
It's very pop culture-y, focusing on more like the 70s, 80s, 90s movies, television kind of thing. Just like what I grew up on, was kind of prevalent on, you know, USA or whatever crap networks that I watched. And just like reviews and just trying to get the word out on some stuff that might kind of be hard for people to find elsewhere. So, yeah, just try to describe them and make sure people know what they're getting into. And they might really enjoy them. So that's about it.
Cool. Yeah, it's good. You ranked the top kills from all the Freddy movies, which I was very into, that I liked a lot. So stuff like that is on there. Stuff that's enjoyable to people who like Freddy kills. And yeah, I'm actually
exactly.
Gonna
any type of it, like horror movies all over the place. I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
All the cool kids grew up on horror movies. Let's just tell the truth right now.
That's exactly true. And I will actually be writing a thing about all the top Chucky kills at some point. I think I'll probably have it finished this week.
I'm really excited for that, actually, because like that's one I kind of like stopped following after maybe like the third or fourth one. I think I've seen the last couple ones, but I mean, I don't really count them in like the Chucky trilogy. Like, sounds very strange, but
the original Chucky canon.
Yeah, exactly.
They're very.
But when he starts getting a bride and like just he's like stitched back together hastily, it doesn't like seem like the same kind of like a little kid finds a toy and he likes it and then it goes crazy on him. Now he's just straight up like midget. Like serial killer. That looks disgusting.
With real life.
But at least they got
like
red
breach
every time.
Yeah, they're totally different. Like what I haven't watched those two in a few years, but I watched them to keep track of all the kills and like they're so vastly different. Like they're basically just like big threes company episodes, but with killer dolls. But yeah, so I think we're gonna get into the stuff that we learned this week, which is something we do most every week. Would you like to start us off, Mr. Frisbee?
Sure. I actually learned quite a lot this week. First of all, I learned that old fridges can ruin everything, but they will always ruin milk the fastest. And I know this because our fridge has broken down numerous times, and the milk just curdles instantly. It's really disgusting. Second, I learned I'm not allergic to gin, but my face will magically turn beet red. Just like that episode of Saved by the Bell that we watched two episodes ago, where there's that miracle cream, and they all get that deep red face after they put their the cream on their faces. Like, it'll get rid of zits, but your face turns a horrifyingly bright red. That's what mine did when I was at a wedding over the weekend and thought I'd try to class things up by getting gin and tonics, but I ended up mucking it up.
Did you put them on your face?
I did, actually.
You rubbed it all over your face.
And that was probably the big mistake. I was thinking back to that episode.
I was going to say.
But yeah, it's been a big week of things to learn. What about you?
I learned, this kind of goes with what I learned last week, was that social media, I think social media is going to make it so that people in the future don't know how to lie. And I noticed something. I'm friends with, obviously, my little brother on Facebook and one of his friends. And they fight about politics all the time. And my brother's friend posted, like, all this stuff about politics, like 30 things in a row. Like, check out this video. It exemplifies the politics I'm into, blah, blah, blah. And my brother tried to, like, start, like, a kind of a debate with him on Facebook. And rather than engage him, my brother's friend just deleted all the things that my brother had to say. So I think that in addition to people not being able to tell the truth in the future because of social media, I think that they will also completely tune out other points of view and anything they don't actually want to hear in the future.
Well, what kind of political ideology was your brother's friend into? Because maybe it was just fascism or totalitarianism. And he was just showing how much he likes it by silencing all others before his own view.
Yeah, well, that's what my brother pointed out. He was like, hey, you know, you're being like a fascist by deleting my comments. And then he just kept deleting them. He didn't get the irony or anything. So that's what I learned. Did you learn anything this week, Kevin?
Let's see. Well, I guess to go along with your heading towards the end of the world theme, since we're all going to be like more alone and sad and all this kind of thing. I just read a day or two ago about this new, it's like replacement, cheaper heroin that they're starting to use in Russia. And you can, I guess they sell these like really cheap codeine tablets in like, pharmacies. And then they get a whole bunch of other really cheap ingredients and then hastily batch, make a batch of whatever this like sludge is. And they use that instead of heroin, and it's making people's skin fall off. It's like it's making them like rot away, and they can't stop using it because they have no money. I guess Russia is the I'm trying to remember like stats from the article. This might be like way off, but let me just say it's a quote. That like a third of heroin users in the world are in Russia right now, and there's like no money, so people are addicted and still want to make this like heroin, and they'll keep using it even though their skin rots off. So I thought that was kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's probably like you would think that your skin falling off would be the one side effect from drugs that you wouldn't be able to handle.
Like, yeah, right? You know, like maybe I'll get help. Maybe this is, like, finally...
Yeah, like, I live in Central California, and everybody here is addicted to meth. So, like, every day in the news, it's like, guy who is addicted to meth sets fire to an orphanage. Like, all this crazy stuff. And I think that's a little bit more acceptable than your skin falling off, you know? Like, like I'd be more willing...
This is the best part, but it's called crocodile. Because your skin gets scaly, and it falls off. It's called a crocodile.
This drug just turns you into Killer Croc from Batman.
Yeah, I was like, how far away are we from that? Like, where it's just, like, people in the streets with their skin falling off, like, help me, I need money so I can buy more stuff for my skin to flake off. Whatever. I'm afraid for the world.
Yeah, that is horrifying, but it shows promise for a really strong chud community in Russia.
That's not a good thing.
I didn't say it was a good thing, but it shows a lot of promise for it. So if we ever needed a chud community, now we know where to look.
I guess I always associate the word promise with like something good.
Yeah, I promise I'm going to murder you with codeine. So
promise of freak people in Russia. It's high.
Yeah, that actually could turn out good, provided that Bud the Chud from the sequel shows up, because he was a pretty righteous dude. I like that character.
The one positive thing that could come out of it. The one problem.
I think we're going to move on now. We've done this a few times on past episodes, where I point out some wisdom that I've learned throughout the week playing World of Warcraft. And this week, somebody in the general chat, just speaking to everybody playing Warcraft, thousands of people, a fellow named... or either a boy or a girl named Shadow Link, said, I've been called a girl before, but by my actually sex, I would still be a lesbian. past episode, I think episode number 6 or something, we played this game called The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly, where we pointed out good things, bad things, and ugly things about a certain topic. I think we did it with concerts last time. And this time, we're going to do it with movie cameos. You know, a movie cameo that we find good, one that we find bad, and one that we find ugly. So, would one of you guys like to start us off with this?
All right, well, my good was Kurt Vonnegut in Back to School, which is, I think, one of the best cameos ever. Because it's Rodney Dangerfield, and if you haven't seen Back to School, for the layman's, he goes back to school, and he has to do all his assignments, but he's really rich, so he hires these people to do his reports for him, and he gets this report back about Kurt Vonnegut that he got, like, a bad grade on, and it turns out that Kurt Vonnegut wrote it, and he just shows up for about 5 seconds, and then gets, like, I think the door slammed in his face, and it's wonderful, because it's just, like, I don't even know how many movies Kurt Vonnegut has been in at all, but it's, like, Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield. It's just, like, perfect. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. I was actually thinking, like, on my short list of cameos, I had Sam Kinison from Back to School, because that's a good movie.
Also a good one.
Yeah. Also, I think Back to School with Kurt Vonnegut's cameo is probably better than all the Kurt Vonnegut-influenced movies I've seen. Like, all
the stuff. It's definitely better than Kurt's cameo in the film that we watched on Junk Food Dinner, Breakfast of Champions, which you think would be an awesome cameo in an awesome film. But you'd be wrong on both counts. He's the director of a Dwayne Hoover car lot commercial, and it just kind of glosses over him. It's not clever. It's not very interesting. Definitely not like the use of Kurt writing his own autobiography for Rodney Dangerfield's character in Back to School, and then just being told that it's crap.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's a great meta joke.
For my good, I originally, when I first thought of this, I was going to go with Freddy's hand at the end of Jason Goes to Hell, but I figured that'd be kind of cheap, since it's just Freddy's hand, and it's not even Robert Englund's hand, it's some stuntman's hand. I think it's Kane Hodder's
hand. That's pretty good, though. I mean, that's pretty good. If we're talking, like, appendages, I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, best appendage cameo.
Yeah, that's by far the best cameo of an appendage ever.
The alien skull in Predator 2 might disagree with you.
Yeah,
a little bit.
That's also true. Yeah, maybe we should do a list of best appendage cameos. But yeah, I decided to go with a real cameo, and I decided, after hours and hours of thinking about it last night, Charlton Heston's cameo in Wayne's World 2 is my favorite example of a good one, because it's so hilarious. Wayne, he's looking, his girlfriend or his ex-girlfriend or whatever is about to marry Christopher Walken at a church somewhere in town, and Wayne stops at a gas station to get directions, and there's, you know, just some extra guy working at the gas station, and he's a bad actor trying to tell Wayne where to go. So Wayne stops the movie, tells him to bring in a good actor, and it's Charlton Heston, and he gives this, you know, very emotional, very heartfelt story about a girl he once knew on the street that the church is on, and it's hilarious to me. And I would reference it for years and years and years and just constantly quote. Like, anytime somebody would tell me to go to a certain street, I'd be like, ah, yes, I once knew a girl on Elm Street. I, of course, had to use Elm Street as an example.
Yeah, what a random street you picked.
Yeah, I know. But that's the cameo I like. I think it's funny.
I totally forgot about that until you brought it up. I had seen Wayne's World 2 a long time ago, but completely forgot that there was a cameo from Charlton Heston in it.
Yeah, it's good. It's very
good. It sounds good.
Wayne's World 2 is, like, I think it's pretty good. I mean, how do you compare to Wayne's World 1, though? You know, it's... I feel like it kind of gets glossed over because of that. Like, it's not really as good. But it still has some pretty, pretty funny parts. And, I mean, that's definitely one of the great ones.
Yeah, I like that part. And I like the part where they talk about crossing the T's and dotting the lowercase J's, because the guy they're talking to has, like, a messed up eye. do you have a good Mr. Frisbee?
I do. And like you stated with the Freddy hand, you know, I was afraid that this might be kind of lazy, but I went with it anyway. I recently saw Bridesmaids, and Tim Heidecker is the groomsman to Maya Rudolph's character, and I did not know he was in the film, so it was a completely welcome surprise. I was a huge fan of the show, and just anything that he's done, really, from his own webcasting, the Tim and Eric show. But all he had to do in this movie was just kind of mug, and that was it. And he just has the most bizarre-looking faces of any person I've ever seen. So we're sitting very close to the screen, my girlfriend and I, and this giant face of Tim Heidecker is just looking very glazed and forced smiled, and I could not stop laughing. They only showed him like 3 or 4 times, but each time I was won over. So that was my good.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie yet.
I haven't either, actually. Yeah.
I think my wife's like super excited to see it, so I'll probably see it when it comes to DVD and she makes me watch it.
I'd like to. I've heard nothing but like good things about it. So
yeah, I've heard it's super funny, and it's got what's her name, Erin from The Office, who is delightful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it is a very good film.
What is your bad, Kevin?
All right, I'm gonna prepare you guys. This is like really bad. okay, so I really got to thinking about this, and then I turned my attention to the Look Who's Talking series. So it's like Look Who's Talking, Look Who's Talking, I think 2, and then Look Who's Talking Now. And Look Who's Talking Now is about dogs that have like inner monologue. Mm-hmm. So there is a little imagination scene in that movie with the little girl, and she beats Charles Barkley in basketball, and it's like the actual Charles Barkley, and she's like dribbling around him, and it's like, I don't know, I couldn't tell if it was like a little person or like animatronics or what exactly they were doing, but it was like really, really embarrassing for Charles Barkley, who I actually kind of like and wish he wouldn't have like degraded himself to do the Look Who's Talking series. I just thought it was really embarrassing. So
that's understandable. Yeah, it's been a long time, as you might imagine, since I've seen Look Who's Talking Now. But maybe I'll have to Netflix it just to check out that scene. It's funny that your bad cameo was Charles Barkley, because I was thinking about going with Patrick Ewing in The Exorcist 3.
I was thinking about that too, actually. Isn't he like the demon angel or something?
Yeah, he's like the angel of death or something. He's just in the background somewhere wearing wings and looking very solemn. It's a very bizarre cameo. But yeah, that's sad for Charles Barkley. He's an enjoyable fellow. I like watching him on the halftime shows and stuff. That's sad for him. Idiot. Yeah. my bad cameo is I probably could have done this entirely out of Freddy movies, but this is, I picked for my bad Roseanne and Tom Arnold in Freddy's Dead, because it's just so stupid and out of place. You know, some kids are in Springwood, which is like a ghost town because Freddy's killed everybody, and Roseanne and Tom Arnold start freaking out that some kids are in town, some kids come from out of town, and they just start talking about how much they, or Roseanne starts talking about how much she wants to take these kids home and how much she wants to love them, and Tom Arnold's like, no, you know, they just bring Freddy, damn it, we can't have any more kids. And it's, I mean, there's been plenty of cameos, or at least a few cameos in the Freddy movies, but this one is, you know, just the most unnecessary of them all. Like, it throws everything out of whack, and it's just awful.
Well, don't you think the series is firmly comedy by that point, though? I mean, it was, they were making fun of the Wizard of Oz in the first 5 minutes in that movie. Like, I just feel like that was just a very tongue-in-cheek thing that I don't think worked, but I could see where they were coming from. I guess that's the only defense I can give to it, really. I don't think it was particularly good. But it's funny that you bring up Tom Arnold, though, because I almost picked his cameo in Austin Powers.
Yeah.
The guy in the bathroom. Who does number two work for?
Yeah, yeah.
That was a good cameo.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's a good one.
Yeah, but I think that was not too bad. But I can see where you're coming from, though.
Yeah,
I love Freddy, though, so.
Yeah, I think if it was, like, somebody else, maybe. Like, I mean, having it be Roseanne and Tom Arnold is, like, such a time capsule sort of a thing. I don't know. Like, if it was, I don't know.
Anyone else?
Yeah, anyone else, I guess. I was going to say if it was, like, Paul Bartel and Mary Warnoff, but, I mean, you could say Paul Bartel and Mary Warnoff would be better than any duo in any movies ever. Like, if they were Wayne and Garth, like, those movies would have been so much better. If they were Mickey and Mallory, those movies would have been so much better. So
I don't know about Wayne and Garth. Why don't you slow down a little bit, man? Come on. Get a hold of yourself. Which one is Mary Warnoff? Is she Garth?
Yeah, she would be Garth.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Respectfully disagree.
Well, yeah, I'm exaggerating, of course, but I love that duo.
They would make any movie good. I agree with you there.
What is your bad cameos, Mr. Frisbee?
My bad was actually David Bowie in Zoolander. And I only say this because he wasn't used to better potential. He comes in, they play Let's Dance. He says maybe he can help. And for some reason, I'm willing to put Tim Heidecker at the top by saying it's just great to see him mugging around. But I kind of wanted David Bowie to do more. Just because I really like David Bowie. I'd like to see him do a lot more than just sit.
I actually thought that was great. I'm sorry, man. Like, I feel like sometimes cameos need to be just a shot or two. Because that's kind of what's funny about a cameo, is that it's this really famous person who you don't expect to be in the movie, and then they're there, and then they're just gone. Like, I think that's, like, the charm of it, really. It's, like, I love that David Bowie was in that movie. Maybe he could have used a little bit more, but I kind of thought it was great. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, no, I agree. It's charming. I was just very excited to see him. And knowing full well that, yeah, this is a cameo, kind of just wanted him to be in the film more, just a little bit longer.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, I've seen, like, a lot of cameos where I'm like, oh, that guy's gone already? Why can't this whole movie be him?
Exactly. Yeah.
But it's funny that you bring up Zoolander, because I was thinking about going with the Billy Zane cameo from Zoolander as one of my good ones, or as my good one.
See, I do like that cameo quite a bit, because he's just kind of frequently, not frequently, but he cuts back in and out. And what's that line? Get out of my way, Zane. They just call him by his last name.
Yeah. He's like, listen to your friend Billy Zane. He seems like a cool dude.
Also, right. Vince Vaughn as Zoolander's, like, coal miner brother who never talks.
Yeah.
Cast Vince Vaughn as someone who never talks. It's barely recognizable. It's pretty great.
Yeah, I like that Zoolander. Also, a bunch of the guys from GWAR were in that David Bowie scene in the background, which...
No kidding.
Yeah, not so much a cameo, because they weren't wearing their... like GWAR stuff. It was like them out of makeup, so nobody would know, but they're just like in the background, like as extras, but they're there.
I thought there would be like prepping Ben Stiller or Owen Wilson as they're getting ready to do the walk off. Like them water and stuff. So
that would be good, but no, they're just hidden like a Where's Waldo, but with GWAR. What is your ugly, Kevin?
My ugly is and since we're on a Freddy, a little bit of a theme, I picked Wes Craven as the, like, Freddy-esque janitor in Scream. because I'm kind of torn on it, because I really like that he was making a cameo, because he hadn't really been prevalent in a long time, and it was a really fun movie with a lot of kind of nostalgia attached to it, but it was also like the least subtle thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, he was wearing like this like bright red and black or blackish green or whatever sweater, and like brown pants, and he had a hat on, and it was just like, dude, come on, like, do something a little more believable. Like, it was just so like, okay, that's Freddy, right? I get it. It's Freddy. It looks just like Freddy. I really like the idea of it, but it was just very out of place, I guess, when it should have been in place. So that's why I'm kind of torn on it.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, but yeah, like I watched Scream not too long ago, and I felt similar to you about that cameo. But at the same time, like, anytime there's any sort of reference to Freddy in anything, I'm like, all right, there we go.
Yeah, me too. Exactly. That's why I didn't put it in bad, because otherwise, I mean, in probably any other movie, that would be like bad.
Yeah.
Real bad.
It's funny that you went with Scream for your ugly, because I also did. I went with, in Scream 3, Jay and Silent Bob showed up for some reason. And that...
terrible.
Yeah, that... still makes me very upset. Like, I still weigh out, like, all right, Wes Craven, he's directed a bunch of cool stuff, but he also had Jay and Silent Bob in one of his movies, so I think the scales are sort of even.
Did he direct that one?
Yeah, he directed all of them.
Oh, he directed all the Screams? Oh, okay. I need to do my Scream homework, I guess.
Yeah, Kevin Williamson didn't write Scream 3, though, which is why it was pretty awful. But yeah,
can't,
I mean,
Silent Bob then. Screenwriting credit.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like there was, I guess Wes Craven and Kevin Smith had sort of a like weird referencing feud going on, sort of the way that Wes Craven and Sam Raimi did back in the early days of Yore. But I don't know. out of that entire dichotomy, I would have much rather had an Ash reference or an Ash cameo in a Scream movie rather than a Jay and Silent Bob. I don't know, and it just ruins the... I mean, like, they were still... they didn't turn Scream into, like, a jokey, fun thing, like, the way the Freddy movies turned or anything like that. Like, they were still trying to be scary, so for Jay and Silent Bob to show up was pretty ridiculous. What is your ugly, Mr. Frisbee?
Well, I just picked a very odd one, I guess. If you go back and watch Mystery Men, Dane Cook is a superhero trying to try out to be these failed superheroes. Mm-hmm. And for a movie that I'm not terribly impressed with anyway, that just brings it down a few more notches. He comes out as the Waffler. And it's disappointing because I get very excited whenever Tom Waits is in anything. And he's in this film, and now he shares film credit with Dane Cook. It's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, that's understandable.
And Pee-wee. Let's not forget Pee-wee, isn't there?
He is in that, yeah.
I can see where you're coming from on that one.
Yeah, and then for Tom Waits to be in that movie, and then, like, the star song from that soundtrack was...
Smash Mouth?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. What were they thinking with that movie? I mean, it had so many good ideas, and it was just... They put it... Oh, ah, so frustrating. Such a good cast.
Yeah,
whatever.
That's probably one of the most disappointing movies ever. Cause, like,
exactly.
I freaked out like about like wanting to see it and stuff. I was like, this is all my favorite people as a, you know, 18-year-old or however old I was at the time. And yeah, it was pretty bad. But yeah, so those are our good, the bad, and the ugly cameos. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with the lightning round, and we're going to talk about some summer movies and all kinds of crazy stuff. And welcome back to Pool Party. Before we get into the lightning round, sort of in the same vein as the Wisdom of Warcraft, I was thinking that we could have a Wisdom of Tracy Morgan, we talked a lot about Tracy Morgan last week, and I've had his autobiography for a long time and haven't read it until, of course, I got interested about reading it, you know, after all this hoopla happened with him last week. And so I decided that I wanted to share some of the wisdom I found so far in this book. Tracy Morgan is talking about how powerful vaginas are and how, you know, they have power over men and stuff like this.
He like talks, literally? Or
yeah, they... well, kind of literally. He talks about how vaginas broke up the Beatles, you know, what with John Lennon and Yoko Ono and everything like this. And he goes on to quote what he assumed John Lennon would say to the Beatles when they broke up, which is, "Fuck rehearsal. I'm going to be banging it out with this Chinese bitch all day."
And now it's time for the lightning round.
The first thing we have on the lightning round.
Lightning.
There's been lightning in place. An Amish man has been accused of sexting an Indiana girl who is 12 years old and arrives to meet her in a horse and buggy. And I think that's very funny. This is something you would not expect from the Amish community, who are usually very nice and make quilts. Have either of you guys been propositioned for sex by an Amish person before?
No, I've I've not, and I'm not certain why, outside of the fact that I've never been to an Amish community. I think I have plenty to offer for that sort of situation. I imagine that I churn butter well. I don't know how to answer this. I have not actually.
I wouldn't assume that the answer would be yes, but
yeah.
Give it a strong back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd imagine that the Amish have all kinds of cool pickup lines like that. Like, do you have a strong back? And
that wasn't a pickup line. Really, I mean, I think they need people with strong backs. There's a lot of work to be done.
Well, that's going to be... I think that should be a pickup line, though. It's pretty smooth.
I'm going to try to use that on a girl here in Brooklyn.
Yeah. And, yeah, so this guy... he apparently found this 12-year-old girl by just randomly text messaging people until somebody answered because he was lonely and wanted to talk to somebody. He then sent over 600 messages, photos, and videos of himself to the girl and repeatedly asked her to make out with him. Yeah, this is pretty gross. You don't assume that the Amish would be real gross like this. And
well,
and so tech-savvy, too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to send a picture at all.
He's not a very good Amish guy either.
Yeah, I know. Like, yeah, and it's funny because he's very tech savvy and not very Amish in the fact that he's text messaging, but he still uses his horse and buggy to get where he's going. You think you're gonna, you know, if you were just gonna forsake the entire Amish way of life by getting an iPhone, you might as well.
All the text messages he sends, he's like, he's got his covers over his head. Yeah. Everybody else is asleep. It's like summer camp.
Yeah. Yeah, so this guy is released on a $20,000 bond, which is funny that the Amish should be able to come up with $20,000. You wouldn't have thought that about them either, I suppose, or at least
strong backs.
Yeah, and yeah. Lots of furniture sales.
Yeah, they had to work overtime selling quilts and chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's very funny. That's in the lightning round. Also, to quote Kevin Moss on Junk Food Dinner, a sad bit of lightning round news. Ryan Dunn died this week. And to make, sad things even sadder, Roger Ebert took to Twitter to be kind of a prick about it and call him a jackass and say the friends shouldn't let jackasses drive drunk. So people are upset about that. And to make matters even worse now, the Westboro Baptist Church is going to protest his funeral.
Good.
Yeah. So just horrible things happening to this man left and right. How did you guys react to Ryan Dunn dying?
He was one of my favorite guys in the crew. He just seemed like one of the coolest, like, that you could hang out with as opposed to fearing for your life constantly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's really sad, but it's also, they led a very reckless lifestyle. So, this is kind of one of those issues where I can see where both sides are coming from. Not the Westboro Baptist Church side, but I mean, I don't think Roger Ebert did a very eloquent job of kind of stating his opinion on it. but I think it comes from kind of a real place. Like, I mean, I think it was, I don't want to say like fortunate or anything, but I mean, he could have taken out other people with him, you know what I mean? If he was drinking and speeding and doing all this stuff. So it's not like I think he's a bad guy, but, I mean, and I am sad that he's, you know, not going to be sticking cars up his ass anymore. but I don't know. It's, I can see where both sides are coming from, I guess. And I just think that it's hard to not know a guy and not know much about him besides his, like public persona. And then if he dies like that in this like horrible way, it's hard to feel really sorry for him. I feel sorry for people like his family and his friends who are obviously like, that's really sad. But I mean, if the guy was willing to do that with his time, then I mean, you got to deal with the circumstances, you know, like I feel really sorry for him, but I can't say that he couldn't see it coming eventually if he did this often. I don't know. I know that sounds harsh, but.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, drinking and driving is obviously very stupid, and Roger Ebert's not wrong in saying what he said, but I mean, it's very, very shitty and arrogant to go on Twitter and say what he said, you know.
Right after it happened. I mean, it was the timing and what he said, I mean,
yeah.
I think.
I mean, I'm sure there were, I mean, maybe not considering we have Twitter and iPhones and stuff nowadays, but I mean, there might have been friends, like real life friends of Ryan Dunn or family members that didn't know yet. And then we've got Roger Ebert acting a fool on Twitter.
Right.
And so I don't know. I hate Roger Ebert anyway, so this just makes me more mad at him.
Kind of looks like a Batman villain nowadays. Have you guys noticed that?
Yeah, that he does.
Oh, with the jaw missing?
I know, that also sounds kind of harsh, I guess.
Like the jawless.
I mean, how do you think like supervillains are formed? Bad things happen to them.
That's true. he does look very much like a monster. Like, I wouldn't read movie reviews by Dracula, so I don't think that I'll be reading any by Roger Ebert.
That's a lie. You would totally read movie reviews by Dracula if given the chance. Or maybe I'm just thinking of, like, Freddy.
Yeah, still. I would read Freddy's movie reviews, certainly. Not Dracula, though. Dracula, I would imagine, to be like into like real pretentious like European stuff.
You think Freddy sees a lot of movies?
Yeah, he's always full of pop. Well, maybe not, because like you said, in Freddy's Dead, he makes that Wizard of Oz reference. So maybe he's
really
behind on his movies.
He probably just watches a lot of kids' movies. You got to go
where
the action is for that guy.
That's true.
He did transform into Dick Cavett for a little while. He is kind of aware of pop culture.
Yeah. But in that scene, he also brought Zsa Zsa Gabor in. So that's another super outdated reference. So maybe, Freddy's way behind on movies.
And which one is this?
That was in part three.
Because, best one, I think. The best one.
Oh, absolutely.
Throwing that out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
Without a doubt. So now the Westboro Baptist Church is getting in on this, and they are super evil. And so that's quite a bummer about this Ryan Dunn stuff.
Well, to be honest, I wasn't really familiar with Ryan Dunn. I remember watching Jackass, obviously, when it was on MTV. But like I was telling you before the show, I hadn't really seen any of the other movies outside of Jackass 1. So I don't even know if I've seen him do anything. And as Kevin said, it's sad whenever anybody dies. But I think this past week in particular has just been a paramount week for obscure celebrity deaths. And not totally obscure, but obscure enough that when somebody points it out, you'll finally realize. And of course, I'm also referencing Clarence Clemens from Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. I didn't know the guy's name. I just thought he was a saxophonist. And what I'm getting at is, if Westboro Baptist Church is going to protest Ryan Dunn's funeral, then I guess they would be obligated to do Clarence Clemens as well. Like, it's just a week for obscure celebrity deaths, so why are they doing it? Exactly. Did they say, was it the drunk driving thing, or what's their purpose in doing this?
They're assholes.
Yeah.
Well, they're assholes that, they want to get people angry at them, but usually they have something to warrant it. Like, I know they're protesting military funerals because they said that God objected to U.S. military. So, I mean, what did Ryan Dunn do? Exactly. That's incurring the wrath of God that they have to actually show up, outside of just them being assholes. Does anybody know?
He listened to CKY, and apparently God hates CKY.
Okay.
He's not into that kind of music. I don't know. No, I mean, yeah, like Kevin said, I mean, these people are just assholes. Anything they can do, they're just going to do. I don't think.
Yeah, I think it's all about attention and whatever can get them. It was a big piece of news. Somebody died. That's probably what they put together. Like, I don't know. It just looks like they are always on the hunt for controversy. So.
Yeah. But yeah, this is a bummer. I also want to add that Ryan Dunn had a sweet beard. And I felt that we were, we could have been soulmates together, me and him, if we would have met.
Did you see the Cribs episode with Ryan Dunn?
No, I haven't.
The MTV Cribs. It's amazing. I think it's the only segment of it where it totally makes fun of Cribs. Like, they go into his house, which is like this shitty little, like, duplex or something, and he, like, sleeps on his floor, and he uses his pool table to, like, hold mail, and it's amazing. He, like, shows people his car, but it's, like, this really beat-up old, like, 95. It's really funny. Hunt that down if you can.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. It's probably on the YouTubes.
That's kind of what made me like him more than the other Jackass guys.
Yeah. Like you said, like, I probably wouldn't want to hang out with Steve-O or Pontius or Bam because I'd be afraid for my life, and like they would probably be annoying in real life. But Ryan Dunn seemed like a solid dude that you could just hang out with.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, the last thing in the lightning round we have, this is something that makes me very happy. Maybe I'm just a cynical butthole, but the Green Lantern totally bombed, and I'm ecstatic about that because it's the most 3D stupid spectacle, which I wanted it to bomb for that. Like, I mean, you know, literally almost every single thing in this movie looked like some CGI garbage.
Have you seen it?
No. I'm just going from the trailer.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, I'm not opposed to 3D or CGI, but I am opposed to shitty 3D and shitty CGI. So I was very opposed to this movie. Also, I think Green Lantern is a horrible, horrible superhero. I used to hang out at a comic book shop a lot, and people would talk about, you know, what superhero they wanted to have, you know, a blockbuster next. And I'd always be like, man, nobody's going to go see a Green Lantern movie. Like all these comic book nerds at the shop that I used to hang out with, you know, they were all into Green Lantern. And I was just adamant that nobody would want to go see a guy whose superpower is that he has a fancy ring made out of magic. And I'm pleased that I was correct. Did you guys see this, or are you guys fans of the Green Lantern at all or anything like that?
No. But I'll give any like comic book movies a chance if they look interesting, I guess. Because it's such a resurgence, and it's pretty cool how many are getting released. But this is definitely one that was kind of like I wouldn't really see unless I got a free ticket or snuck in when I was seeing another movie. Am I going to get arrested if I say that on a podcast? I heard mixed things about this. That some people said it was really badly paced. That was its biggest problem. Mm-hmm. That some parts are really, really exciting, and then some parts are really, really slow and boring. And the Green Lantern Corps, I guess the other Green Lanterns, in addition to Ryan Reynolds, looks like really bad CGI. Or just maybe like really overwhelming, I guess would be a better term. So all stuff I'm not really that interested in. So I haven't really gone out of my way to go see it.
It's interesting you mentioned the pacing, because that was a critique I heard as well. Well, it's similar. Somebody was critiquing the editing and just saying that it was extremely jarring. And I'm assuming that's along the same lines of the pacing when I heard that.
Yeah, DC Comics, this is based on a DC comic, they have a tendency to make all their superheroes like just blatantly invincible. And that's always been one of my problems. That's my huge problem with Superman and why I hate Superman. And also Green Lantern has that same thing. Like,
I've got this Batman, though.
Well, aside from Batman, which is why Batman's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, but everybody else, Wonder Woman's invincible, Martian Manhunter's invincible, like all their main guys, which is why they're dumb. But yeah, I mean, a guy's got this Dakota ring that turns into super Gatling guns, and it turns into, you know, giant fists, and it turns
into hatchets. Yeah, that's stupid. I mean, really, like, you've got this ring that can bring anything that you want into reality, and you bring, like, a big fist? Like, come on!
Yeah.
Get out of here. Like, this is a movie? Somebody made this digitally, spent, like, months on this big fist, and nobody was like, this might be a bad idea. This might look really stupid.
Yeah.
How about a knife? How about a big knife?
Yeah, like, these guys got together, and they're like, all right, the storyline calls for us to, you know, anything that pops into our imagination, literally, we can make. We got the technology, and the storyline will even cover us. And they come up with a giant fist. And a gun.
Yeah, like a Gatling gun? Like, really? They even have, like, the bullets going into the side of it. Like,
yeah.
It needs bullets?
It needs imaginary bullets. Yeah. Of course it does.
I hope he doesn't run out of those bullets that are in his imaginary gun.
Yeah, then he'll have to resort to giant fist fighting.
He has to unwrap a giant glove to show his dishonor towards somebody else.
Yeah, just going around demanding imaginary giant green satisfaction. But yeah, so moving on out of the lightning round, we are going to talk about some of the summer's halfway over, but we still have a crap load of summer movies to go. Some of which are much stupider than The Green Lantern, but some of which might be better. So I figured we should just talk about these summer movies, see what else is coming out this year, see if anybody's excited for anything that's yet to come out this year. So this week, opening Friday, which should be the day that this podcast comes out, we have Bad Teacher and Cars 2. Are you guys excited for either one of these?
Sounds like a doubleheader. Both of them back to back.
Sounds like
a no, I'm not interested in either. Bad Teacher is the one with, I can't even remember her name now.
Cameron Diaz.
Exactly.
Yeah, Jason Segel, Justin Timberlake.
Wow. No interest in that. And did not see Cars 1, so I think I'll be totally lost if I try to see Cars 2.
Yeah, they're very plot heavy, those Cars movies.
I don't even get how they got the cars to talk. That's just crazy to me.
Yeah, that's probably a huge plot point in Cars 1 that I just don't want to ruin by seeing Cars 2.
Yeah, they're just normal cars until they fall into a puddle of radioactive goo. They learn how to talk. And they wear tutus and use mops. Yeah, I don't care about either of these. I would probably watch Bad Teacher on DVD at some point because I think Jason Segel and Justin Timberlake are very funny guys. And I usually like those guys and stuff. So I might watch that if I have nothing else to do one day, but I don't think I'll be seeing Cars at any point. But I really did like Toy Story 3, so maybe I'll like wuss out and wait to have the house to myself at some point and watch Cars 2.
Well, I'm pretty sure Larry the Cable Guy does a voice in Cars films.
Oh, yeah. That's
and true. Did not do voices in Toy Story 3, so that might be the difference between the two.
Yeah, Larry the Cable Guy and Owen Wilson, two of the least charismatic fellows.
Hollywood's
I haven't seen
gems.
Toy Story 3, but did they get a fake Jim Varney to do the Slinky Dog?
Yeah, they got somebody else to do it.
That's
yeah.
messed up. That's
I know. I was very upset about that.
I don't like that.
Yeah, and there's even a plot point, because Toy Story 3 takes place like 10 years after the other Toy Stories, and their kid has grown up and whatever. And so they make a plot point to say that a lot of the toys have like been thrown out and stuff like that. And they
throw out the dog!
Yeah, you could have just been like, oh, Snoop Dogg's gone, we miss him, instead of shitting on Jim Varney's memory and getting a fake Jim Varney.
Fake Varney.
A counterfeit Varney.
I wonder how many of those are floating around Hollywood right now. Fake Ernests.
Up next, July 1st sees the release of Transformers: Dark of the Moon, possibly the movie with the dumbest subtitle.
That is the dumbest subtitle. It's the weakest attempt to not sound like a Pink Floyd album I've ever heard.
Yeah, it seems like they wanted to call it Dark Side of the Moon and then couldn't get the rights to it. So they were like, ah, fuck it. Just drop one of the letters, which is the least important letter out of this or word out of this. Are you guys big fans of the Transformers movie? You guys?
No.
I like how you couldn't get that question out without snickering.
Yeah.
That's not a solid series at all.
They are awful. They are how so is, awful.
How is John Turturro in those, though? Like, each time I watch those, I realize John Turturro is in them.
Yeah.
As a main character. Is that correct? Like,
yeah, he's a pretty main character.
They have to be blackmailing him. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Oh, those movies are so bad. Because I watched them both. I can't even believe that I watched the second one. Because it was like, I watched the first one, and I was like, I won't watch anymore. I'm not going to watch anymore. Because this is like, they just ruined it all.
It's a nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah. And then you like, the second one comes out, and it's like, whoa, the trailer was all cool. And then, it was like 10 times worse. I don't even know how it was so much worse. But it was, I'm not going to be watching this one. I might picket line movie theaters to try to stop people. I'm Megan Fox's side for once in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a pretty horrible turn of events when you have to side with Megan Fox on something. Yeah, I absolutely hate these movies. I saw the first one in the theater, like, you know, looking to give it a chance and stuff, and then it was awful. And then I tried to watch the second one on, like, HBO, and it's, like, 3 hours long or something. And if you're still, like, trying to relay the plot, like, 2 hours and 45 minutes into your movie, then it's a pretty bad movie. Like, there's just so many, like, it's, like, somehow such a convoluted story that they have to, like, keep reminding you what's happening in it all the time. And
Shia LaBeouf goes to, like, robot heaven. Do you remember that?
No, I don't think I saw that part.
Yeah.
Or maybe I tried to make it leave my brain forever.
Yeah, that happens. Robot heaven. A human goes to robot heaven. Anyways.
Yeah.
I remember what was it? The main thing I remember was this old-timey jet transformer that didn't seem to come from any of the cartoon or to my knowledge, wasn't from any of that canon. And he just kind of jabbers on for about 20 minutes. It was good time they could have used to actually explain the plot, but he's just saying stuff in a weird, gritty, mechanical voice, and you hear all these big clings and clangs. I watched it on a small screen, and it was very disorienting, even in that perspective. So, yeah. Yeah, what's next?
July 8th, we've got Horrible Bosses, starring Jason Bateman, Charlie Day, and Jason Sudeikis as people who need to kill their bosses. Which despite the fact that all these people, well, aside from Jason Sudeikis, I guess I don't really know who he is. But I like Jason Bateman and Charlie Day, but I do not want to see these guys kill their bosses at all. I don't know. You guys?
One of the few ones where I think I might actually be interested. I like all these guys. I think they're real funny. Especially Charlie, who I'm sure everyone knows is in It's Always Sunny. Mm-hmm. And is really, really funny. Maybe the best character. At least craziest in a show full of crazy characters. And I don't think he's been in a very many movies, if any. So I'm just excited to see him up on the screen.
Yeah, he was in some like romantic comedy a while back. But I
also with Jason Sudeikis, if I'm not mistaken.
They were
the two best friends of the main character. It was that Drew Barrymore film, wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah, he plays like somebody's wacky friend who like helps them meet a girl or some such. I don't know. I didn't see it. I just saw the commercial for it.
I hope he doesn't get typecast as wacky friend.
Yeah, he probably will though. But he's a good wacky friend, so.
Yeah. He's real funny.
Yeah. I don't know about this movie. I mean, this is one that I'll probably eventually see. But judging from the trailer, it's Charlie Day's character is like a dental hygienist who his dentist boss is Jennifer Aniston, who wants to have sex with him a lot, and so he has to kill her. And that seems like the flimsiest, sort of most far-fetched plot point.
You might have just changed my mind about wanting to see it. That sounds... Wow. Yeah, Jennifer Aniston's your boss, and she wants to have sex with you. That sounds really realistic.
Yeah. Also that day, we have The Zookeeper, starring Kevin James and Rosario Dawson, who Kevin James is a zookeeper, and he finds out that animals talk, and they help him find love.
Rosario Dawson's in this film?
yeah, apparently.
Tough times. It's pretty rough.
Yeah.
She seems so cool, too. Like, she wouldn't do crap. But she does a lot of crap.
Yeah. Right. I just thought she was done. Like, I thought she was at least putting that phase behind her in some regard. But, guess not.
Yep.
Yikes.
Yeah, so...
Tall, fart, zookeeper.
Yeah. This movie...
That's what this is.
Yeah. Apparently in this movie, Kevin James teaches a monkey to drive and then takes him to TGI.
Of course he does.
Yep, perfectly reasonable stuff. The stuff you would do if you found out that animals could talk. You would teach them to drive. And, yeah. Anyway, July 15th, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 will be coming out, which I guess wraps up the Harry Potter movies. I don't know that much about Harry Potter, but one thing that I was shocked to realize the other day is that it's taken Harry Potter, I get like 8 or 9 movies to finally eventually beat this Voldemort fellow. And that seems like too many movies to just constantly be fighting one bad guy. But I don't know.
I mean,
Jason, I'll let you go first because I have an opinion on this.
Well, Parker, you are a fan of Jason Friday the 13th films and Freddy films, both of which I know their main characters and I know the arc that they've taken for the narration of these films. But it's the same thing. Like, it takes some time and time again to try and rid either of these two icons. It's not going to do, but they keep doing it anyway.
Well, the bad guys in the Freddy and Jason movies are the teenagers.
Because they're just trying to live.
Yeah,
right?
That's the way I see those movies.
What are you going to say, Kevin?
It kind of like took me a while to get into the Harry Potter movies because the first two or three are... Then actually the third one gets darker, but the first two are like really kiddie fair. I mean, just really made for kids. So it's just like a weird start to the series because it's just gotten progressively darker in every movie since the third one. And I think now they're really good. Like, I wouldn't say that the plot is, I mean, it's really complicated if you're not a big fan of or the movies. Like, if you go into this movie like, hey, I'm gonna catch up on Harry Potter, you're gonna be completely lost because they're talking about all this like lingo that has been talked about for the past 3 or 4 movies or whatever. And but I just think they're very well made, and I'm really excited for the last one. It's probably the movie I'm most excited for that's coming out in the next couple months. And I don't know, I think everybody's done a really great job in the last like 2 or 3 movies. So I think it's something that you might actually be really into if you gave it a chance, especially since you like World of Warcraft. So what are you even talking about, Parker?
I just don't know about it.
Your alley.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right up your alley.
Well, yeah, I wasn't hating on it. I just said I never got into it.
Okay.
I saw like the, like you said, I think I saw like the first two or maybe like the first one and the third one.
Exactly. So yeah, just watch the later ones. They get really good.
Cool. Well, yeah, my little sister is really into it. She always tells me to see it. Well, no, I'm not being insulting. She is, and she always tells me to
watch. My 2-year-old cousin likes it.
Sorry,
I just kidding.
I came out insulting. I'm sure. They
I think the thing. I'm sorry. I think the thing is that there's so many crap fantasy movies that come out. You know.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Kind of a tricky genre because you want to make it for children, but you also want to respect like an adult audience. I think Princess Bride is like the best example of a movie that can work both ways, you know?
Right.
And I think Stardust, I don't know if you've seen that, but I think that is also a really good movie that came out in the last like five-ish years. That's a great one too, that can kind of just appeal both ways. And it's hard to pull off, you know, because you don't want to end up making it too complicated or too simple. I don't know, but Harry Potter does it really well. It's a good series.
Cool. I'll check it out. On July 22nd, we have a movie that I'm very excited about, Captain America, The First Avenger. The story of Chris Evans as Captain America, a fellow in World War II who gets a super secret super soldier serum and becomes super buff and becomes Captain America and takes out the Red Skull and also Hitler. I don't know if that's in the movie, but that happened in the comic. Are you guys excited for this?
I'm not a huge fan of the comic book series, but I don't know, between this and Thor, I have not seen Thor yet, but yeah, I have some interest to see both of them. So yeah, it's kind of there. Maybe a matinee or something.
Thor was okay. It is the scenes when they actually are in like Thor's world are pretty amazing. It's actually really good effects. When, you know, I feel like effects are really overused. It's kind of one of those instances when it's used in a good way.
Right.
But this one I am sort of interested in. I guess I'm not a big like comics guy. I like the it's so weird because I've just never read comic books. I've read graphic novels, but for some reason like the comic book aesthetic doesn't work for me for some reason. So that's why I like the new comic book movie so much, because it's kind of like Cliff Notes to like yeah. learn about these guys. So I guess I'm pretty interested. I guess a lot of it has to do with, you know, how the previews look and stuff. So.
Yeah, I haven't seen Thor yet, which I'm disappointed in myself for not seeing it, because I'm, you know, hugely into Iron Man and I like the Hulk, or that new Hulk movie, and I want to see this, and I'm super stoked for the Avengers and stuff, and I really enjoy the Avengers comics. I never got into Thor as far as comics and as far as being outside of the Avengers, but I'm super excited for this. The only thing I'm worried about is that, you know, it's it all takes place during World War II, I guess, or at least that's what the trailers lead you to believe, and I don't think Captain America really got interesting until, like, after World War II, he stops the Nazis and everything, and then he gets pushed into some really cold water and
Arctic cavern.
Yeah. And gets frozen in a hunk of ice and is revived decades later. And I think that's when he becomes interesting, because, you know, he's sort of this fish out of water guy. Like, his, you know, family's all either super old or dead, and everybody he knew is dead, and he's sort of got to try to find his way in this new world. And I think that's what's interesting about this character. So I don't know if this movie would be tremendous if it's all in World War II, but I'm still excited for it. I like Captain America. He's one of my favorite superheroes. Also, let's see what else is next. We have, on July 29th, Cowboys and Aliens and the Smurfs. And Cowboys and Aliens is another thing based on a comic that I haven't read. But I do like Cowboys, and I do like Aliens, so I'll probably end up seeing that. And it's directed by Jon Favreau, who did Iron Man and Iron Man 2. The Smurfs, on the other hand, I do not care about at all. It stars Hank Azaria, who is pretty awesome, but it also stars Katy Perry. I guess.
What?
Yeah, I guess she's that girl Smurf, perhaps.
Smurfette?
Yeah.
That's so weird. I thought that came out, like, months ago. Smurfs. Because I feel like I heard, like, so much about it. Like, it was about to be released, and I saw previews and stuff. And then I thought it just really flopped or something. And I just, like, missed it. Because I'm just assuming that it's going to flop really badly.
Yeah.
I didn't know it actually come out. I thought it was being pushed back, so I'm kind of the opposite on that timeline. Like, I saw the whatever preview it was, like a Super Bowl preview or something, and didn't really think much of it, and saw a picture of Hank Azaria as, I can't remember the villain's name now, Gal something with a
Voldemort.
G. Voldemort, that's right. Yeah. That's where he goes.
Gargamel,
yeah. He's in full costume, and yeah, it looks all right, but I was thinking they were going to do like a Christmas release or something. I've not seen or heard anything about this movie coming out at the end of July, so that's not a good sign.
That's what I'm talking about. It just seemed like it just came back all of a sudden, where I heard so much about it like a long time ago. I just thought it got released, you know? Like, it just went away.
Have you heard anything about it now outside of Parker's release date? Just here, because I've not seen a thing about it, and I don't know.
Yeah, I watched the trailer, and it's about the Smurfs get magically transported from their magical land to present day New York.
Oh, that's such a dumb gimmick.
Yeah, it.
Let me guess. They say Smurf a lot.
They say Smurf all the time. Every other word is Smurf. Yeah.
I can't imagine this being any better than like the Alvin and Chipmunks movies. So.
Yeah.
They probably put it in New York because that's the only place where people probably wouldn't be that freaked out by little blue things on the ground.
Yeah, that and, you know, it's just the go-to place when you have magical beings. You just, you're like a lazy...
Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Right?
That guy just wants money. These crazy bums in New York.
Yeah, it seems like when you are out of ideas for magical beings, you just put them in New York, like this and Gremlins 2. They're like, what can we do with the Gremlins? Put them in New York. See what they do there.
Was Howard the Duck in New York?
It was in Cleveland, but...
Oh, never mind.
Close enough.
Little New York.
Yeah.
August 5th, we have Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which looks goddamn amazing. A new trailer for it just came out today. And I'm super stoked on this movie. I haven't seen any of the original ones because I'm awful, but this looks really good, I think. It's about monkeys who scientists inject the cure to Alzheimer's in them, and they become super smart and take over the world, or at least just San Francisco where the movie is set. But yeah, this looks super cool. Have you guys seen the trailers or anything?
I saw the trailer. It looks pretty great. I'm right there with you. I haven't seen any of the originals, so... they just never seemed up my alley for some reason. They just looked really corny, I guess. But I should watch them. I really should. But you're right, this trailer looks great, and I probably will see this.
I was actually on the same impression of the originals as you, Kevin. And then I guess I somehow just succumbed to it and ended up watching, believe the first one and one of the sequels. I can't remember what the sequel was, though, because that one was a long time ago. But I've seen the first one a couple times and found it really enjoyable. I don't know how to describe it. Like, oh, gosh. It does seem very corny compared to, like, whatever modern fare is out there. And it is. Like, the masks are really cheap and all that. But it somehow works really well once you see it all in the same context. My only fear about this new Planet of the Apes or this Rise of the Apes is just the modern day predecessor. Like, I saw Planet of the Apes with Mark Wahlberg, and I'm kind of fearing this one. Who's directing it? Do we know? Is it Burton again, or what happened?
Oh no, it's Rupert Wyatt. This has nothing to do with.
Okay, yeah. Well, okay, and I give it my full blessing.
Yeah, it's got James Franco.
I'll get my full dollar. Yeah.
It's got James Franco in it, who's a good actor, obviously, and Andy Serkis, who was Gollum, and I think he was also King Kong. You know, he does all the weird motion capture acting. He puts the main monk, who is...
I love that that's that guy's job now. It's just to, like, put on the little bubble suits and run around the studio.
That'd be a sweet...
It's his only source of clothing. that guy's obviously playing... You said the lead ape, right? What's James Franco doing in this?
He's a scientist.
Is he an ape too? Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I think all the apes are just CGI. Like, they're not guys in suits.
Right, yeah. Well, I do kind of expect that, I guess.
On August 19th, we have, it looks like, the end of the summer. Fright Night, the remake, and Conan the Barbarian, the remake, both come out. This Conan movie, I just saw the trailer for it the other day. And it looks extremely action-packed, and there are a lot of barbarian deaths in it, but I don't know. I mean,
Did you ever watch the first one?
No, I've never seen those. I mean, like, I think I saw, like, bits and pieces as a kid, or maybe I watched them as a kid, but not as an adult. I don't know what they were about.
What about you, Kevin? Had you seen Conan before?
I watched the first Conan's, like, probably 5 years ago or something, and they were okay. Like, I just don't get it. I don't get remakes. I mean, I understand trying to get this, like, past audience and everything, but it just seems so silly. Like, why not just release it as your own thing? Like, why try to make it some new... Like, it just makes me really frustrated.
Yeah.
Like, why remake Fright Night? Like, come on. really, guys?
Like, yeah. Well, with especially with Conan, like, this is the kind of thing that you could, instead of this being Conan the Barbarian, you could call it, like, Ugnok the Barbarian and make it the same thing, and it doesn't have to be a remake. But yeah, with Fright Night, I don't know why anybody would want to make Fright Night. Like, I mean, I understand remaking Jason and Freddy and Chucky and all these guys, but, like, when you're going, like, not that Fright Night isn't good, Fright Night is awesome, but, like, when you're going into, like, the, you know, when you're scrounging sort of the one-and-done movies that came out, I mean, there was a sequel to it, but you know what I mean. Like, when you're...
But it's also, like, not... It's not like Fright Night is this, like, really intriguing concept to be, like, delved into again. It's like the most simple vampire movie ever. A vampire moves in next door to this guy. Like, we need to remake that. Like, why not just make a movie very similar and then just call it, you know, Vampire Night. Scary Night.
Yeah, I would go see Scary Night. That sounds
Scary cool. Night.
Scary Night's sold.
You're totally right. Yeah, like,
it's stupid.
Yeah.
It just speaks to the, like, lack of creativity in Hollywood, you know, that they won't just come up with interesting, not even ideas, come up with interesting titles. Like, I mean, that's really all you need. It's not like a vast amount of movies are already rip-offs of other movies anyways, you know?
Well, maybe that's how they do movies now. They don't even come up with ideas. They just come up with cool names. And then, like, they send somebody out to do research. And if there's already a movie called that, then they just do the remake.
That's even that I'm okay with. Just name it something different. That's all I ask. Like, they're like, remaking Total Recall? Like, come on, guys. Like, leave my childhood alone.
Yeah. With that, I can kind of get behind the Total Recall thing because it's based on a book. So it's...
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of remake, or, you know, just doing a different adaptation of the book. But, yeah, that's all your summer movies this year. All your mostly crappy summer movies.
So exciting.
Yeah. A bunch of movies that you might one day watch if they're on TNT on a Saturday afternoon.
With plenty of commercials.
Movies on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Movies on Netflix in December. That's what that should have been titled.
Yeah.
That segment.
Instant cue, maybe.
Rob Schneider is a Wall Street executive with everything going for him. Only problem is, he's about to become a carrot.
I'm a carrot.
It's 24 carat comedy. Rob Schneider is a carrot. Rated PG-13.
For the love of Christ.
That's the end of the show. I would like to thank Kevin Merriman for joining us this week.
Thank you for having me. It was a good time.
Yeah, indeed. And once again, you can check his blog out at culturalatrocities.com. We said this last week, and we're totally serious. If you leave us reviews on iTunes, and we'll totally owe you a solid. We'll do whatever you want. What else is there? Go to our website, poolpartyradio.com. There's not much there, but you can get all the episodes, and you can get occasional funny pictures. And
don't forget to subscribe to our Twitter feed, Pool Party Radio.
Yeah, at Pool Party Radio. Also, Jason's Twitter feed. He's been tweeting so much lately, and I'm so proud of him.
Oh, I appreciate you being proud of me. I've been trying really, really hard.
I'm very proud.
But yeah, it's coming out in spurts, which I hope is okay.
Yeah, I like your tweeting style. Like, you won't tweet for a week, and then when you do, it's like 20 tweets, like, all in a row.
It's a feast.
Yeah. You can find Jason at Jason Frisbee on Twitter. And, go to facebook.com/poolpartyradio and like us, because that would make us happy. And email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com and let us know how we're doing. But yeah, so we're going to take a week-long break. We'll be back next week with a bunch of other stuff that we don't know what we're doing yet. And so yeah, until then, see ya.